Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. We are in Indonesia. Yes, it is a mini island country. That has close to the population of the U.S., 277 million. I believe it was 275 million. Sorry, correction there. But we have 330 million. So that's pretty close relatively in size. But I'm here with my lovely wife, Kaylin.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Hi. What do you know about Indonesia? Anything?
Like you said, there's lots of islands.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were that many people, though. That's nuts.
Isn't it? Yeah, I didn't expect that many.
Because America is so huge, and so it kind of makes sense we have that many people. But then, yeah, you compare it to Indonesia, and it's like, how do that many people live there?
Yeah. We'll go over that. But yeah, it is crazy.
I also know that Indonesia has a lot of influence on Singapore.
Yeah.
Because of the one episode we did.
Yeah.
So, that's about all I know.
We got a biscuit and a Benny in here, and that's just a recipe.
They're like, oh, you guys
for
left.
Disaster. Yeah.
We have to follow you.
Oh, no. Well, anyway, Indonesia, we're going to get started here from Wikipedia, the general location of Indonesia. Indonesia, it is... officially the Republic of Indonesia. It is a country in Southeast Asia and Oceania between the Indian and Pacific Oceans. It consists of over 17,000 islands.
Whoa.
Yeah. Including Sumatra, Java, Sulawesi, and parts of Borneo and New Guinea. The currency is the Indonesian rupiah, or the RP. IDR.
See, it's super
it is.
Colorful. It's pretty.
A couple of the pictures are a bit goofy, but yeah, it's pretty good. Oh my gosh. Biscuit is trying to demolish our set again. I am so sorry for those watching on YouTube. Also, you can check us out anywhere you get your podcasts. But yeah, oh, see, look at that. See, Biscuit has
gotta,
to get everything.
You gotta watch.
The, yeah, I bet he knocks it over. He's so good at it. But yeah, the next thing here, we talked about it. The population is 275,773,800. Yeah, and one of them is not a biscuit because he barely can get to the window at this point. But yeah, and then their land area, it is 1,904,000 square kilometers, which is 735,000 square miles. Population wise, they are the fourth largest country, and land area size, they are the 14th largest country.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were the fourth largest country.
Right?
Like in the world?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Because you think of China, India,
the US,
and then Russia, maybe? And then Japan, like...
Russia's the largest country, England? But it only has, like, I don't know. It's not that much over 100 million.
His tail's hitting the microphone cord. And so it's just going, blong, blong, blong. Oh, boy. That's good old Biscuit for you. But no, yeah, I mean, it's like you were saying. If somebody had told me what is the fourth largest country, I would have never have guessed Indonesia at all. And then their capital city and largest city is Jakarta. But before we get to that, I hopped over something, which is their official language, which is Indonesian. But we'll get to why that is not so straightforward. But yeah, Saya Minta Maaf, which is I am sorry. In Indonesian. Then interesting quotes. There's Jakarta, by the way, pretty big city, heading out towards the waters. And then it kind of spreads out. Looks like a delta, kind of like Vietnam or Mississippi, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, kind of interesting there. But, yeah, the interesting quotes. Do you want to guess who that is? Yeah. There's three little kids on the screen here.
I'm supposed to guess all of them?
No, just the middle kid there. Yeah,
nothing? I don't know.
It's a black and white photo for you folks listening on the podcast. And there looks like a little Asian boy and then a probably African-American girl sitting next to the boy, the African-American boy in the middle. And I say African-American because I know that they're an American.
Is it Obama?
Yeah, Barack Obama. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that is a child. Aww. Barack Obama. Yeah. Isn't that kind of cool? But yeah.
Wait, what does he have to do with?
Interesting quote. So, he said, this is from the Solo Globetrotter, because Indonesia is made up of thousands of islands, hundreds of languages, and people from scores of regions and ethnic groups, my time here helped me appreciate the humanity of all people. Yeah. And I can imagine it would. Just because of the diversity there is just through the roof.
Hmm.
And then another one here who took his battle scars to keep building houses for the poor, Jimmy Carter. Yeah. I picked that photo not because it's like bad of him or what, but he did. He fell. He had a fall. Oh. And he got a black eye and all this stuff. And he's like, no, I got to build homes for, you know, people who are homeless.
You know,
and he just goes out there.
You have to respect the tenacity.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Good old Jimmy C. He said, it is interesting to note that an overwhelming majority of citizens in the world's three largest democracies have different religions. In India, it was 81% Hindu. The United States, which is 76% Christian. And Indonesia, which is 87% Muslim. Two of them have elected women as leaders of their government. And there's one that hasn't. And we know which one that might be.
Yeah.
And then part of the interesting quotes, I like to get proverbs from different countries. The ones here, it's from joyofmuseums.com, going over Indonesian proverbs. It says, an empty drum makes the loudest noise. Or ooh, the loudest sound.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Goodness shouts, evil whispers. Yeah. And then calm water does not mean there are no crocodiles. Those Indonesians.
They're very intuitive.
They are astute.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, good proverbs to live by. I think my favorite out of the three is the empty drum. I think that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Because basically it's just like you're calling somebody an airhead. Like, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But their influences. Yeah, look at that table. Ooh, bright.
Look at all those vegetables.
Yeah, all the veggies and brightness. But before we get on to the food, I mean, so far, Indonesia, it's probably surprising you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It shocked me going through this stuff. And that's because I had an American education. We keep hitting on that. How does that happen?
I was about to say, you talk about this like every time.
I know. I just want people to know I do recognize my Western, you know, white.
Ignorant.
Yeah, things. But yeah, so the influences on their cuisine. Indonesian cuisine is one of the world's most diverse, vibrant, and colorful, full of intense flavor. Many regional cuisines exist, often based upon indigenous culture and foreign influences, such as Chinese, European, Middle Eastern, and Indian precedents. Rice is the leading staple food and is served with side dishes of meat and vegetables. Spices, notably chili, coconut milk, fish, and chicken are fundamental ingredients.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're big ones.
Yeah.
The first one here, and I apologize ahead of time for pronunciations if I'm getting them like way off, but I'm trying my best. Just like our cat biscuit. I try my best. But yeah, the first one here, limpir or limpir. It is a savory snack from Indonesia made by stuffing glutinous rice with either seasoned shredded chicken, fish, or abon, which is meat floss, which is then rolled in a banana leaf or tin foil. And by doing so, it is transformed into a perfectly packaged snack. The chicken-filled limpir version is called limpir ayam, while other versions similar to limpir include, for example, semer mendem, which is also shredded chicken with glutinous rice, but it is wrapped in a thin omelet instead.
What is meat floss?
Most of the time it's made of pork, and it's not. It's like insanely finely shredded meat.
Oh.
Is what pork okay. floss. Yeah, it's like very thin. Huh. Almost like the, you know, the beef jerky that they would shred and put in a can.
Yeah, it's like fake it's, chew.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like that, except it's longer strands, you know. But yeah, and then the next one here, krupuk. Yeah, it's like a little potato chip. Krupuk. Krupuk encompasses a vast group of Asian crackers that are typically made with starch and additional ingredients that are used as flavorings. These crispy crackers are a staple in Asia, but they are strongly associated with Indonesia, which boasts the largest number of varieties. In Malaysia, they are known as keropok, and in the Philippines, kropek. The most common types consist of seafood, and the most popular version is krupuk udang, internationally known as prawn crackers. Yeah.
You like those.
I do. I like them a lot. Very good. Most krupuk are served as a topping or an accompaniment to dishes. They're enjoyed as a quick, convenient snack. They're available in pre-packed versions and often sold by street vendors. Due to historical relations, these crackers are also found in the Netherlands, where they are known as kropolk. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Isn't that cool? The next one here, risoles. Yes. It is fried, so I'm pretty sure everybody's going to love it. Risoles is a popular Indonesian snack originating from the 13th century. It has a delicate savory flavor, which makes risoles ideal for breakfast or an afternoon snack. Love deep frying in the morning. Yeah, risoles consists of a small croquette that is typically wrapped in pastry.
Hold on.
Oh,
hold
oh,
on.
Oh.
You're being sarcastic.
Yeah.
About deep frying stuff and eating it in the morning.
Yeah.
Chicken and waffles.
What about it?
The chicken is deep fried.
Yeah.
Country fried steak or country fried chicken.
Well, I mean, technically with chicken and waffles, if you had a bucket of chicken the night before, you've got leftovers and you just reheat it. And you can bake it.
It's still fried. I'm just trying to point out the hypocrisy. That's all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That, you know. Just because something's fried doesn't mean you can't eat it for breakfast.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. I mean, kind of like pho. I would love, pho is a breakfast dish.
It is. Yeah. Technically, yeah.
Yeah. So, quick question. Would you eat pho in the morning? Would you do that?
I mean, if I had to.
If you had to, yeah.
I wouldn't okay. say no.
Right.
I love
right.
pho.
Yeah. And then, fried stuff. You're going to, partake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I felt like it.
Yeah. My thing is like chicken and waffles, I will admit, that's like a late night meal. It's not really meant for breakfast, right?
I mean, no.
It's kind of a night owl meal, right?
I don't know. But people do, or places do serve it.
Yeah, they serve it for like brunches,
Breakfast, brunch. So yeah. I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah. So Indonesia, ahead of the game in fried breakfast foods. But yeah, it consists of a small croquette that is typically wrapped in pastry, rolled in breadcrumbs, then deep fried until golden brown in color. Usually it's filled with ingredients such as seafood, mincemeat, vegetables. Sometimes it can be filled with sweet ingredients and served as a dessert, like a little puff pastry. Yeah. The name of the dish stems from the traditional Portuguese risole, This tasty snack can be found throughout Indonesia in numerous markets, bakeries, and on street stands. Because it's still popular. Probably because it's really good. I mean,
it looks good.
Yeah, as I say, I'd be munching down. The next one here, it has a savory and a sweet version. Yeah, so watch out, everybody. Sarabi. They are traditional small-sized Indonesian pancakes and are usually prepared with rice flour and a choice of coconut milk or shredded coconut. The pancakes are incredibly versatile. They come in sweet and savory versions and can be adapted with wheat flour and various toppings such as sugar, bananas, crushed peanuts, jackfruit, chocolate sprinkles, and fermented oncom. While modern-day additions also include meat, sausages, or ice cream. So the first one here, that is the, like, dessert version. I think it's like, or, no, that's the savory. Sorry. The savory version, I believe. Because the green and the white, I think, are supposed to be, like, onion and something else and then gravy.
Hmm.
And then this is, like, kind of savory, I believe. It might have, like, cinnamon or something on it. But it looks like chips, right?
Yeah.
But they're little pancakes. They're actually dough. The one over here, it's got chocolate sprinkles that I've got on my other screen. And so that's like a sweet one, right? So, but yeah. And so in Thailand, they're called Khanom Krok.
Mm.
Yeah. The next one here, which is a very popular phrase or phrasing for this type of food, Gorengon. A lot of brown, right? Lots of brown because it's all fried foods. Basically, anything that is fried falls under the gorang title. And so there's gorang and then there's gorengong, which just means a bunch of foods deep fried. Like, yeah. Gorengon is a generic name that refers to a wide group of Indonesian deep fried snacks that can be prepared with a variety of ingredients. Whether savory or sweet, the fritters usually combine egg batter with various additions such as bananas, tempeh, tofu, sweet potatoes, or jackfruit. The ingredients can be finely sliced and incorporated into the batter or merely dipped before they're fried. Gorengon is one of the most common Indonesian street foods, and although they come in seemingly endless number of combinations, some of the most popular varieties, they are pisang goreng, which is bananas, ubi goreng, which is sweet potato, asi goreng, which is fried tapioca dough, tahu goreng, which is fried tofu, and singkong goreng, which is fried cassava, or cassava. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then this one has the ang in there, but it's not fried.
Hmm.
Yeah, so get that out of your head. It's called lemang. Lemang. Yeah, it's got that wang. It's lemang. Yeah. It's, no, it doesn't have a wang. I don't believe so anyway. It might if it's bad, but it is, you know. Lemang is a traditional dish that is believed to have originated in Indonesia, but it's found in many Southeastern Asian countries like Malaysia, Brunei, and Singapore. It's made with sticky rice, coconut milk, optional flavors like salt, and then cooked in a bamboo tube over an open fire. The inside of the tube is usually lined with banana leaves to prevent the rice from sticking. Lemang is traditionally eaten on the last day of Ramadan to mark the end of the fasting period, and it's typically served as a side with meat-based dishes.
So it's supposed to be, like, neutral? Like,
yeah.
Or is it supposed to be more, like, salty, savory, or...
I think it's supposed to just be a base.
Yeah.
You know? Like you can grab the meat from the little bowl and put it on top of your little...
Did you say coconut water or milk?
I believe, coconut milk.
Hmm.
So I would think that's like a sweet kind of thing, but it has salt. Maybe it's just trying to balance it.
Yeah.
You know, Try to ride that fine line. And speaking of fine lines, throw some peanuts in with some fruit because we're going with asinan. The name asinan refers to traditional Indonesian salads made with pickled fruit or vegetables. It is believed that the fruit variety originates from Jakarta and the vegetable variety from the city of Bogor. I almost said booger, and that would have been really bad, because that triggers you, I can see. Ugh. Already. Ugh. And just imagine, oh, where was your childhood home? Oh, booger, Indonesia. Like, nobody would believe you. And it's because there's Bogor, guys, not booger. Jeez. Anyways, Asinan is a typical street dish in Indonesia, and it's usually sold by street vendors or at a local eatery. However, it's a common dish in many traditional Indonesian restaurants. Asinan can be made with any fruits or vegetables. Cabbage and cucumbers are the most common ingredients. Both vegetable asinan and fruit asinan are usually served with sweet and sour and spicy peanut sauce, and they are typically topped with rice crackers or noodles.
Wow.
Yeah. And this one, the one picture that I've got here, it just looks like they got whole peanuts in there. You know?
Peanuts are good.
Yeah, peanuts are good. I just, fruit and peanuts?
You know what's not good?
What?
Allergies.
Oh, no.
I found out over the summer, last summer, because we're in 2023 now.
Right.
But I found out I am allergic to dust mites. And, yeah, sorry, this is a sidebar. But
yeah.
I'm allergic to dust, so it's a year-round struggle.
Yeah.
So if anyone who's watching is, you know, watching me wipe my eyes or... rub my eyes or whatever, that's why.
Yeah,
I'm not crying, this is interesting.
I thought you were just getting emotional about the Asinan.
No,
you
know? I'm not there yet.
Oh, you're not there yet.
Not yet. Okay. Right. Okay. Now it's just the allergies.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah,
fine.
Sorry, just had to throw that in there.
Had to, yeah,
because I don't want someone thinking or commenting why are you crying? Yeah. Why does she touch her eyes so much? Because everything's itchy.
Because the world has dust.
I'm allergic to dust.
We just got done watching an episode of South Park, and it has Kyle's cousin in there. And I think that's what Kaylee's had. She's having a Kyle's cousin moment. She's like, guys, I have dust, you know, I'm allergic to dust mites, so watch out.
I am. Yeah.
It's weird because she's having that moment, but I look like the kid. So I, you know.
Yeah, you get.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those things, like, I look like the kid, but then she has the situations like the kid. I don't know. It's a tough combo.
Get tested for allergies.
Yeah, definitely.
You think you're allergic.
Yeah, they can make you miserable. That's for sure.
I never knew I'd be allergic to dust in my life, and here we are.
Yeah. I think I used to have a recurring nightmare where I was allergic to grass.
Oh,
yeah.
That would suck.
It would. I played sports outside. Yeah.
You have to go outside.
Right. Like, yeah. I was going to say, you're like playing with your dog and you're just like in hives.
You'd have to like move to the desert.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. I have to be an Arizonian. Sorry, Arizonans. To be a desert person?
I couldn't just because of my heat tolerance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Anyway.
Your heat, your allergies.
Yeah. I'm a very fragile human being.
Yeah. Yeah. Like many others.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one here, Percadil. Yeah, it's not a type of alligator or crocodile. It's a food. It's Indonesian fried delicacies consisting of either mashed potatoes, ground meat, ground corn, or minced fish. Perkedel ikan. The name of this of these savory patties. Yeah.
Patties.
Oh my gosh, patties is derived from the Dutch word frikadel, showing the Dutch culinary influence on Indonesian territory. Prior to frying, the main ingredient is usually combined with finely chopped scallions and pepper, then dipped in beaten eggs. So far, this is a great start. Perkedel is traditionally served as an appetizer or a side dish with soto ayam soup. Okay. And although it can also be consumed as a main dish, when it's usually accompanied by nasi kuning, which is yellow rice.
It kind of looks like scallops. Or like
a little bit
biscuits.
Yeah. It reminded me a little bit of like crab cakes, just by the, you know, probably not in flavor in any way, but
no,
you know, yeah. I just thought it was cool that it was ground corn or ground meat. Like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're a crab cake fan. You're a big crab cake.
I love crab cakes.
Yeah. She tours with the crab cakes and she's a roadie for crab cakes. Anywhere we go, she's like, crab cakes. We're like, this is a McDonald's drive-thru, Kaylee. Please calm down. And she's like, I just want crab cakes.
We're
like,
you are throwing me under the bus here.
No, I'm just expressing what my life is like.
No, you're lying.
You're full of allergies. You want crab cakes all the time. It's like, yeah, they're going on tour next year, Kaylee. it's like hanging out with a deadhead, you know? They're like, when's the next Grateful Dead, man? You're like, Kaylee, crab cakes, they're like a seasonal thing.
I sound just like that, too.
You get that way. I'm telling you. That's why the cats, they stay away from you around crab cake season. They're like, mommy's crabby. Yeah. Not really. She's not that avid about, but she does like crab cakes. I like crab cakes too. They're very, very good. The next one here, nasi jagung. Yeah, it's kind of couscousy, right? A little bit. Nasi jagung is a traditional rice dish originating from Indonesia. The simple dish is made with a combination of rice, sweet corn kernels, and water. The rice and corn are boiled in water, stirred from time to time until the corn is fully cooked and the rice is dry and fluffy. Nasi jagung is stirred well and then served while still hot. The dish is popular in areas where rice is difficult to obtain or expensive, so corn is used to add bulk to the rice. This sounds like a Kaylee dish 101. Does it have a starch? Yes. Does it have corn? A+. I'll admit, you can't go wrong, right?
No.
Like rice and corn, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it sounds good.
Yeah. Perfect match here. The next one, which I'm probably going to butcher this, but it's, I believe, chai to kwai. Yep.
It looks like popcorn chicken.
It kind of does.
Or like popcorn shrimp.
Well, you're close. Chai to kwai is a traditional Chinese dish originating from Chaoshan. The dish usually consists of radish cake, also known as turnip cake, that's cut into cubes and stir-fried with eggs and seasonings. Radish cake is made with a combination of shredded daikon, rice flour, and water. Chai to kwai can also be steamed and pan-fried. The dish is typically garnished with scallions before serving. It's also popular in countries such as Indonesia, Malaysia, and Singapore, where it's part of the Teochew people cuisine. In Singapore, the dish is also made in two versions. There's white, which is no soy sauce, and black, made with sweet soy sauce. Chai to kwai can be served for breakfast or dinner, and it's sometimes served as a side dish. So, you notice how I said it was close, but it was nothing like it.
Yeah. I'm offended. I was led on.
So when I
was
duped. When I pulled this up, it kept mentioning radishes. But then it was like next to the page or something. They kept saying it was like fried carrots.
Oh.
And I'm like, why do they keep bringing up fried carrots? And that does not look like carrots at all.
No.
Like, what is going on? And so, yeah, I'm guessing that they just include carrots every now and again. Something like that.
I don't know if I've had radish.
Yeah. I mean, pickled radish. You probably had.
It's either it's radish or turnip.
Yeah.
That I've had, and I haven't had the other. I can't remember.
Yeah. Were you highly offended when you had the whichever one you had?
No. It wasn't as bad as I thought it'd be.
There you go, folks.
So
everybody, make sure that you're sending in your radishes and your turnips to culinaryconvo.com.
That way
Kaylee can try some turnips and radishes. We'll say, turnip for what?
I'm leaving.
Wah, 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 wah.
This is not what I signed up for.
Yeah, I didn't sign up for that either. Really, to be honest, it's Benny. Benny is making me sign everybody up for turnip and radish season. Oh, Kaylee,
I'm going to stand.
Rest of the time, she's I'm ready to stand.
I can't sit on this chair anymore.
The stool.
So
it's difficult. It's hard to find a second chair that's not an actual chair.
The seat's not the best shape.
Right.
For
it's
me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get more into it, but it doesn't work with what I've got.
Yeah. Yeah. But the next one here, this is Kaylee's favorite breakfast. Gado gado.
That's no. Right.
Look at these eggs. Yes. Gado gado is an Indonesian version of a mixed salad. Salad for breakfast? Need I say more? It usually consists of a variety of vegetables, eggs, tempeh, and tofu. Though all four of those are my and Kaylee's favorites.
They're like, no. Yeah. Stop lumping me into this. I hate eggs.
Tempeh, tofu,
I do
eggs,
not like tofu either.
Vegetables.
I like vegetables.
You do like I said. You
I
like
don't
those
like
things.
The rest, though.
Well, let me finish. You're judging it way too quickly.
I'm judging you.
Oh, that's what I felt. The vegetables are usually just slightly boiled, tossed with a nutty sauce, then complemented with the addition of crispy prawn crackers. Oh, yeah. The sauce was traditionally made with cashews, but due to lower price and availability, peanuts are more frequently used today.
Mm.
Yeah. The dish is a true representative of Indonesian street food, and it has been present in the Indonesian culture since the 16th century. It originated among the native people of Jakarta, but today it can be found in all parts of Indonesia. Gado gado can be a whole dish on its own, but it can also be boosted by the addition of rice crackers, or chicken. This classic Indonesian street food is usually sold by street vendors or hawker centers and can be served for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And it is the ultimate enemy of my wife, Kaylee. Yeah.
I don't.
Sorry, Indonesia. She doesn't like
gado-gado.
I would
not eat this. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't.
I would eat it. That bowl, I would power through it.
Well, like, you can have my serving as well.
No, it's okay. I won't even bring you because you'll be like, oh, it's dusty and I don't. I'm sorry. I'm making fun of her too much.
You know what?
Honestly, when you don't like a food and then that's the majority thing that's on the top, it kind of makes you automatically go, yeah, this is awful. Like, you know, and you don't like eggs. So yeah.
I do not.
Yeah. The next one here, it's the national dish of Indonesia. And you might actually like this one. It's nasi goreng, minus the egg. But
I think we've talked about this.
Yeah, nasi goreng is often referred to as Indonesian version of fried rice. Although it's considered to be the national dish of Indonesia, it is also commonly eaten in Malaysia and Singapore. It is believed that the tradition of frying rice in Indonesia came from the Chinese culture when the trade between the two countries started to develop. Indonesians adopted the Chinese tradition based on the belief that it is sinful to waste food. And soon, like many other versions of fried rice, nasi goreng was created. Since it was developed out of a practical need, it's usually eaten for breakfast and made with leftover rice from the previous day. Pre-cooked rice is usually fried in a small amount of oil, then spiced up with shallots, garlic, chili, or ginger. Indonesian fried rice is distinguished by the generous use of sweet soy sauce, and because of that, it has a deeper and spicier flavor than other varieties of fried rice. Nasi goreng is commonly served with eggs. Usually they're mixed in with the rice or fried and served on the side. Yeah.
Yep.
Nasi goreng. Yep. And by the way, that's like the majority of their dishes and like savory foods. Let me tell you, if you go to Taste Atlas, which is where I got most of these foods and recipes and things, they literally have hundreds of Indonesian recipes.
Yeah,
and Indonesian foods. So that's why, like, that's another reason where you can parallel it to the U.S. Because we have 50 states, and each state has, like, 10 to 12 staple foods that they go through. I made a whole show out of it. It's kind of crazy. Indonesia has a ton of food. That's just a small snippet. What do you think of the savory so far? Fitty-fitty.
Yeah, my pickiness would come out, and I would only eat, like, parts.
You'd give me the egg. I would take the eggs. Kind of like the picture here of the nasi goreng. I think you would just give me the egg, but everything else, you like the tomatoes.
I love shrimp. I love tomatoes. Yeah. If it wasn't, like, frowned upon, I would just eat whole tomatoes.
Yeah. Like apples.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like fried rice.
You just put salt.
Other than the egg, and I know people are going to be like, you're weird, you're a freak, but...
My own father is an egg hater.
Yeah, he's on the right tough. Side of history.
Oh, man. So hard. See, look at that. My son.
I don't even believe that.
He's like, yeah, he's so sad about it. He's like, I can't believe my mother hates eggs, you know? And we're like, it's not really your mom. And we have to curtail the conversation after that. He gets too upset. But the next thing's here, desserts. Yeah. Indonesia, you think they don't have desserts? They got coconut milk for days. Mm-hmm. First one here, Wingko. This traditional coconut cake is typically associated with Java, which is an island. More precisely, the region of Lamongan and the small city of Babat. Though the ingredients may vary, it is usually prepared with rice flour, grated coconut, and fresh coconut milk. It is typically round in shape, though it can differ in size. Wingko is usually sold by street vendors, peddlers, or on trains, but it can also be found at specialized shops. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like a little fried, chewy cake. Kind of like mochi, but it's fried instead of just being there. The next one here, this is right up my alley. It's Getuk. Actually, no, it's Getuk. Getuk. Getuk.
Oh, my gosh.
This versatile Indonesian dessert is made with boiled and mashed cassava. The cassava base is then sweetened and often enriched with coconut and natural or food colorings. In order to create decorative sweets, the rustic version combines mashed cassava and dark palm sugar, gula melaka. Which imparts the dish with a typical brown color. Modern varieties, Getuk Lindri, are often finely ground with the help of a meat processor. They are then tinted with vibrant colors and shaped into visually appealing cakes that are then cut into smaller pieces. Besides cassava, Getuk is also prepared with taro, bananas, or sweet potatoes. This typical street food is usually associated with the island of Java.
Hmm.
And like I said, that's right up my alley. It's like springy. It's got highlighter, big colors. Mm-hmm. It's got coconut. Hello, Indonesia. The next one here, which this one I actually found to be very interesting. Kueh lapis. Kueh lapis. Yeah, very colorful.
Yeah.
It is, or kueh lapis is a traditional Indonesian dessert that's also popular in Malaysia, Suriname, and Brunei, and Singapore. It is usually prepared as a moist layered pudding like cake consisting of rice flour, sago, sugar, salt, coconut milk, and red, green, or pink food coloring. The cake is steamed, and the final result looks similar to a layered pudding before cutting and serving. And kueh lapis should be left to cool down completely. If properly prepared, this dessert should have a bouncy, sticky, and chewy texture.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's probably the only one I'd try so far.
Out of the desserts?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Is it because of the coconut?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't like coconut. I'll have, like, coconut milk. In something, but, like, shredded, like, the actual coconut meat... Mm-mm. Don't like it.
That is because it has a what?
Shell?
A weird texture?
Yeah, I hate the grittiness of coconut. I really do. But I don't really care for the flavor either.
What?
I like coconut scented.
I don't know. I'm still on that thing of my pedestal of anybody who's like, well, I like the flavor, but the texture is grow up. Grow up. Please get your socks, your shoes, some good sturdy pants and a jacket on.
No.
Step outside and grow up.
No.
Okay.
You know what? I have my flaws, but you have yours too. So
God, I have so
you
can't, many.
You can't.
It's crazy.
You can't criticize people if they don't like the texture or something.
I know. I think actually I'm the weird one because texturally I can find something weird, but as long as it tastes good, I'm fine. Right?
You're just a garbage disposal, and I mean that in the kindest way possible. You will eat pretty much anything.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Then you'll I can't think of the word.
You're like a trash compactor. You'll
shred it all up.
You're like a trash compactor. You grab all the trash that people don't have and they don't want, and you just shove it into yourself, and then you compact it down. Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, pretty much, the nicest way possible. Right. I pretty much will eat or try pretty much anything.
It's like you put anything down, it is gullet.
Oh, man. I'm going to go to Indonesia, and they're going to be like, oh, that's the gullet guy. You know? He eats everything. I was like, yeah. Oh, man. I tell you.
Sorry, I'm kind of a jerk.
So. No, you're not a jerk. I know what you mean. I just give you
a other people comment. Might not know.
No, maybe
they'll,
not.
They'll be like, man.
Yeah.
She's rude.
This lady just called her husband a trash compactor. In a garbage disposal.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe her.
I'm so awkward. I'm not meant for the camera.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not meant to be.
Why does she co-host if all she's going to do is get angry at her husband? Oh, that's so awful. I can't believe it. Yeah. Anyways, I understand. The next one here, clip-on. You're not going to like this one. It's got coconut.
Oh, no.
These Indonesian rice balls are prepared with glutinous rice flour, so basically mochi, shell that's wrapped around palm sugar filling, so super good. The outer shell is usually colored green, traditionally with the help of pandan or dracaena leaves. While the whole cake is coated with desiccated coconut. The origin of klepon is typically associated with the island of Java, while the same treat is better known as onde-onde or buah mloka in some parts of Sulawesi, Sumatra, and Malaysia. It should be noted that on Java, the term onde-onde typically refers to Chinese jendwai rice balls. Klepon balls are traditionally served in banana leaves, and when freshly prepared, the filling is liquid and should be consumed with care. With care.
I don't know if you should have this either. Might be messy.
Oh, yeah. It probably is very messy, and I would get angry at it, but it probably tastes good.
Again, we all have our flaws.
Yeah, we have our flaws.
I don't like coconut because I don't like the texture. You get angry at when messy you things. Eat something messy.
Yeah.
So
it has to prepare me in its messiness. I think I described it in the last episode about it. If somebody says, here's a burrito, I expect it to be encased in the burrito.
I think, you know.
But if somebody says, here's a smothered or a wet burrito, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, this is going to be kind
of. So most things are out of your control if you don't make it yourself, if you don't make the food yourself. Right. So I think the solution here is buying bibs.
Moving on. the next one here, Esteler. That's right. Esteler is a refreshing combination that usually consists of jackfruit, avocado, coconut, condensed milk, syrup, and shaved or crushed ice. But the variations may include other ingredients, such as flavored jelly and different types of fruit. I'll stop talking about it, because you can't have avocado.
I can't eat this.
Yeah, you can't have avocado, so that's another
one. I'm not even allergic.
So it dust, just... avocado... textures. We've got so many things. Yeah. Mapping the culinary Kaylee. That's what this is.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I love avocados so much.
You do.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Like it gives me indigestion.
Yeah.
And it's just I think it's because it's so fatty.
Yeah.
You know,
it's rich.
That it like just it's so disappointing though. Because I absolutely love avocado.
Yeah. I think there's like a small boat outside. I just hear...
I kind of heard that too. I don't know what it was though.
What the heck?
Maybe it's an alien.
Yeah. To finish Esteler, the dessert, which is often classified as a drink. I did not know that. I researched this and I did not know that. It is mostly associated with Java, and it's believed to be originated sometime in the 1960s. Esteler is served in bowls, and since the fruit is either diced or sliced, the dessert is usually enjoyed with a spoon. But they consider it a drink. Indonesia.
People think hot dogs are sandwiches.
That's true.
So.
Yeah. That's true.
People think cereal is soup.
Yeah.
So.
It's a touchy subject.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what people think.
Yeah, that's what people think. Yeah. So Indonesia, I've talked about your savory foods. I've talked about dessert. Now we move on to Kaylee's favorite segment, the drinks.
Hey, everybody. Why is this my favorite?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, usually the desserts usually are your favorite. Usually it's
dessert, but this time, not because as of
the
much.
Coconut. Yeah, it might be the
anywhere
drinks.
Where coconut is a big thing, I'm not on board with it.
Yeah. This one, I would pronounce this Bondrek, but it's actually pronounced Bundrag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a sweet and spicy hot drink native to the Sudanese people of West Java.
Spicy?
Yes. Of Indonesia. Sudanese people that inhabit the colder parts of the country drink it to keep themselves warm during the cold winter weather, Kaylee. Jeez. The main ingredients to make Bundrag are jahe, which is ginger, essence, gula merah, which is palm sugar, and kayu manis, which is cinnamon, with the optional star anise, cloves, and coriander seeds, just to name a few. Depending on the one's taste, sweet condensed milk can also be added, as well as pieces of young coconut flesh or durian fruit.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I just, when I hear spicy, I just think of
like
hot sauce, jalapeno, habanero, you know.
This is like spiced, like hard cider, or like
it's spicy, but, like with the cinnamon and ginger.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't do the picture. Oh, there it is. Ah!
Don't yell.
Sorry.
You live in an apartment.
I know.
That looks good.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I like the little wooden spoon that they give with the. Yeah, that's pretty cool. The next one here, soda gimbira. Yeah, look at that. It's kind of pink. Soda gimbira is a traditional Indonesian non-alcoholic beverage that is especially popular with children of all ages. It's made with a combination of three ingredients, cocoa pandan syrup, condensed milk, and carbonated water. The proportions of ingredients may vary, but soda gimbira typically has a bright pink color after all the ingredients have been combined. The sweet and creamy drink is most often consumed on hot summer days so that you can hit a home run with the kids. I added the last part there. The home
you
run of the kids. It's like a summertime drink, you know.
It looks like a pink drink from Starbucks.
Yeah, it does. I wonder if that's where they like...
Maybe. Maybe there's some something going on.
Yeah, there's something connected with
that.
I don't know. The next one here, very dark looking drink, Kopi Tubruk. What is this, you say? Thick and rich, Kopi Tubruk is the most popular coffee in Indonesia. It involves simple preparation in which boiling or hot water is combined with fine or medium ground coffee. You know, kind of like when you make coffee. The combination is mixed until it's well incorporated, and it's then left to sit for a couple of minutes until the coffee grounds settle at the bottom of the cup. Although sugar is optional, most people choose to sweeten the coffee by mixing sugar with the coffee grounds before the water is added. This method of preparation is believed to have been introduced by the traders from the Middle East, since both the method and the coffee are quite similar to Turkish or Greek coffee. In Indonesia, coffee is brewed at home, but it's also sold at numerous street stands or specialized coffee shops, or warkop or warang kopi. Yeah.
Cool.
I don't like the grounds at the bottom of the drink.
No.
I'm not a fan of that. Gritty. No. You know?
Yeah.
And not the Philadelphia Flyers gritty. Like, gritty in your teeth. You know? Gets in there. Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, this next coffee, which actually just looks like espresso, it's Indonesian Kopi Luwak. Kopi Luwak is often cited as the most expensive coffee in the world. Everybody.
Is this the one...
You'll let me read it.
Yeah, I think I know what it is, though.
Yeah, those aren't just like put together peanuts, everybody. It is made from coffee beans that are digested and excreted by the civet or luwak, a cat-like mammal that is native to Southeast Asia. Before they are washed, ground, and roasted, it is believed that when the coffee beans pass through the animal's digestive tract, they lose their astringency, which makes the coffee softer, smoother, and less bitter. Yeah. Huh. I always thought about that. You know, other cat-like mammals poop very sweet, not bitter at all.
I'll just say if our cats were to eat coffee beans,
right,
I would not go through the process of rinsing it and all of that just to try it.
Yeah.
It's like one of those situations where it's like, what did the first person who tried this or found this, what did they think?
Yeah.
You know?
I think, sadly, I think it was like a I'm lost or like a torture situation. Kind of thing. Yeah, like not a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the civet's drippings contained undigested coffee beans, which they later used to brew coffee. Although, oh, so that's how they did it. So they cut open the stomach of a civet that had died. And it was undigested. There were no poo-poo on it at all. There were no poop on it. And but, they just took it out of the stomach. It was undigested.
But that's how they get it now.
Is the poop.
Is
when they dig through its droppings.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, well.
There are many who argue the entire Kopi Luwak trade, it's basically, it's highly popular. Since it is almost impossible to get the beans from wild animals, most producers, they keep the animal in cages, and in some cases, the civets are force-fed. These conditions often raise concerns over animal rights and the entire future of the civet or civet population. Although Kopi Luwak has many supporters, there are also those who claim that the hype is not justified and that the price, which can reach astronomical prices of $80 per cup, is not reasonable.
Whoa.
I kind of agree, you know? Whoa. It's not very reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's very sad that they would have to do that to a poor little animal. I would just keep them, like, in an area, and then basically you just go out in that area every day, and it's like, hey, you boys taking a poop? And you just start looking around for the coffee beans, when you know?
Making a profit comes into play.
True.
A lot of people don't really care.
I know. Isn't that sad?
Which is upsetting.
Yeah. So Kaylee's like, listen, I gotta get me some cat poop coffee.
No.
What am I gonna do to get to Indonesia? And I'm like, Kaylee, one, calm down. Don't take away all their coconut. We know you love it so much. So the first thing here, we're gonna go to good old Kayak, letting us know, hey, what flights you gonna take? This is kind of Kaylee's favorite area as of late, is looking at, you know, flight prices and such, and figuring out what the best way to get flight prices. You may be able to do that with Kayak or Priceline or someone else. Whoever wants to sponsor me, please let me know. But yeah, I'm gonna let this load up. I did it for Monday, April 3rd through April 11th, which is a Tuesday, so a little over a week. So far, oh man, Kayak is going pretty slow right now. So Priceline or Expedia, if you really wanted to throw your hat in the ring, I suggest doing it now. But anyways, the best flight that you can get, this is for price and time. It is 1,039. Oh, it changed. See, it did it at the very end. It changed. The next one, the best, is $964, and you'll be flying for 31 hours. Yeah.
I'm going to fall over.
Exactly.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's also the cheapest flight.
That's horrible.
Yeah. The quickest flight is $1,976, and it's 22 hours. Yeah. Not fun, guys. I'm telling you.
Again, the Southeast Asian countries.
Yeah.
If we were to ever go, it's got to be like a big trip.
Yeah.
Where you spend a while flying to one place, and that's like your longest part.
Yeah.
And then you're in that one place, and then you take a shorter trip to another country and do whatever.
Yeah.
It, I can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like a week in between. No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Well, you finally made it after your 31-hour flight. the next part here, what does it cost once you land? How much money will you need for your trip to Indonesia? You should plan to spend around $47 a day on your vacation in Indonesia. That's not bad. Average daily price based on other expenses of visitors. Past travelers have spent on average $12 on meals for one day, $6.07 on local transportation, and a hotel price in Indonesia for a couple is $50. Wow. So a trip to Indonesia for two people for 1 week costs on average $661. Oh, yeah.
So it sounds like inexpensive if you plan it right.
Yeah.
But you're spending like a literal day.
Right.
If not longer, yeah, trying to get there.
Yeah. If you wanted to live there for a month as a couple, it's only $2,831. Yeah. Not bad. Yeah. But yeah, that's the good old travel stuff with good old Indonesia. As you know, I always try to figure out, you know, one last note of interest. So interesting facts. Indonesia is the only place on Earth to observe the Komodo dragon in the wild.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I found it crazy via planet Earth that really these animals, like, yeah, they've got like some sharp teeth and stuff and they can break stuff down or whatever, but it is their saliva that kills the animal and like breaks down the meat of an animal.
Wow.
It's highly like acidic and super venomous, and like it's like the bacteria and stuff in its saliva, like it could barely bite you and you'd be like, oh, I'm fine. And it's like, no, dude, you're like,
wow,
not good. But yeah, the Komodo dragon, it's the world's largest species of lizard. I almost said liggered. I don't know why. Lizard. And this 3 meter long, fierce, scaly creature exists on just five Indonesian islands: Padar, Gilimutang, Flores, and Rinca. And naturally, Komodo. These animals are truly terrifying with their toxic bites, huge stature, and carnivorous diets. They hunt and kill animals that are far bigger than them, including humans. Oh my gosh, we have a biscuit. He's our
own Komodo dragon.
Yeah, our own little Komodo black cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, that's like, yeah, that's crazy. Like, I would not want to be sleeping and then, like, you wake up, you go to get a thing of water, and that thing got in your house. What?
That's as scary as like a snake coming up your toilet.
Yeah.
I have an irrational fear of it.
Dust, snakes, and toilets.
I didn't say I'm afraid of dust.
I know.
But snakes coming up in a toilet, would you not be like terrified?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like the thing is, like, it's piping, you know? So it's like a snake's got to make it out sooner rather than later.
I don't care. You know? I don't want a snake coming up there in the first place.
Well, if you just live in like New York, there's alligators in your toilet, which is like crazy.
Just like, I don't want to run into a Komodo dragon.
Yeah. No. But you know what I do want to run into? Maybe not like super close in the wild, but I just want to see it in the wild, other than my little biscuit, is orangutans. That's right, everybody. Sumatra is one of just two places in the world to observe wild orangutans. That's right.
He kind of looks like you.
Yeah. Look. Hold on.
Because you... Well, your beard, like parts of it are kind of blonde.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah.
And he's kind of got a cool like mod.
I like his mop hair. Top. His haircut. Yeah. His haircut looks like the owner of the Oakland Raiders.
Oh my god.
It's kind of odd.
Aww.
But no, I like orangutans.
Yeah.
In Indonesian, orang means person and utan means forest. So orangutan quite literally means person of the forest.
Aww.
Aside from Borneo, Sumatra in Indonesia allows travelers the opportunity to witness and marvel at wild orangutans residing in the jungle of Gunung Lesir National Park, close to the village of Bukit Luang. Yeah. So Biscuit, if he wants to go and sit on the laps of some of the best orangutans in the world, they're in Indonesia.
Aww.
Yeah.
That'd be cute.
It would be cute, wouldn't it? Yeah. Next time on Mapping the Culinary World, we're going to Grenada. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Or Granada. I don't know. You know? Yeah. Granada. Let's sort the whole thing out next time on Mapping the Culinary World. Yeah.
Hey, Biscuit.
He's up here. He's going to put his tail in front of the camera. But yeah, so Granada, you've had a recent experience with Granada.
I mean, not really.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, like, it was mentioned to
my coworkers going there.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it
before. Yeah.
So it'll be cool to find out more.
Yeah. And Grenada, island country, it is definitely in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting enough. Biscuit's trying to jump on the mic. Do you have something to say? Did you have some, sir?
No, he's shy.
But anyways, what do you think of Indonesia?
It seems really nice. Yeah. It's probably really humid, though.
Yeah.
Humid and hot, which I do have a problem with.
Yeah.
I'm also not as, like, leaning toward their food as I am, like, Singapore.
Yeah.
But I do find the fact that there's so many different, like, cultures and countries that have had influence on this 15,000 island chain. I find that really, really cool.
Yeah. And like I said, over 700 languages.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. That is, like, so high of a number. But yeah, you know, just go to Indonesia, like their food, hang out there fairly cheap, and then you could come with us next time when we hop over to Grenada, or Granada, however it's pronounced. I'm going to research that, how it's pronounced. But we will see everybody next time. The cats say, hey, everybody, go to culinaryconvo.com, sign up for the newsletter. That way you can get all the recipes from this episode via Pinterest. You can get recommendations on other podcasts as well as the behind-the-scenes research. So go there. All you got to do is give me an email. That's it. Just give me your email. Sounds harsh. But yeah, you get cool stuff through that. Also, we have a Patreon. You can check that out. But definitely join our socials on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook. And yeah, you know, join in. Look at Culinary Convo things at culinaryconvo.com. Kaylee, you got anything?
Me?
Yeah.
For what?
For the show or life?
I don't do anything cool. Like, I'm not, like, a media person, so I don't do anything.
Kaylee. I don't do anything. We'll see everybody next time.
I know that's sad to say, but yeah. I'm at, like, that weird stage in life where, you know,
yeah,
you're still trying to figure your own things out, and so is everyone else, you know. And yeah.
Yep.
Listen to the show.
Thank you, Kaylee. All right. So yeah, we'll see everybody next time in Granada. Thank you for listening. And share this podcast, like it, review it. Once again, thank you, A18J39s, for your review. And also, Linda Yoga Girl, shout out.
You guys are awesome.
You know it. And our convenant, Dylan, thank you. We'll see everybody next time. Goodbye. Hi. I'm still singing, Mom. You can't tell me what to do.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast. or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.